get ready to celebrate God's call to go. Here's your weekly dose of heartwarming encouragement for the missionary in all of us. Welcome to Missions Change My Life. Now here's your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Missions Change My Life podcast. This is a poor kid from rural North Carolina that has now flown over a million miles to 27 different countries. I've taken nearly 1,000 people on mission trips to India. We've collected millions for God's work among Indian nationals. I will be sharing compelling stories of radical transformation from ordinary people. Buckle up, you're gonna hear some amazing stories. I'm gonna take you right inside 20 plus years of real life mission trip devotional moments. And we will be sharing practical tools to empower and equip you. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources as God uses missions to change your life. I'm incredibly excited about today's guest and the show we have lined up for you. You're going to meet David from Durham, North Carolina. I'm going to let him basically introduce himself through his story, because if I start sharing, it's going to give it away. Will you please join me in welcoming David to the show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. David, welcome to Missions Changed My Life.
Yeah. So yes, David, thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah. So David's been to India with us. We have Justin here interviewing him. Justin is our international travel manager from Pune, India, originally from Manipur, India. Mm-hmm. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing so good.
Are you ready to interview David?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Excited.
David, how are you surviving the COVID-19 pandemic that we're under at the moment? You doing okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I am. I've been taking care of my great aunt recently, so I have to do all the mask wearing and washing hands and taking showers when I get home and all that craziness.
Yeah, our hearts go out to those like your great aunt, the elderly that's very vulnerable to this season of life at the moment. All of our healthcare workers, those that have lost their jobs, their loved ones, both friends in the U.S. as well as friends in India, because we know India is really suffering at the moment. And our hearts and prayers are with everyone that is really feeling the pain of this pandemic. So, David, you are safe and you are healthy?
Yes.
Good. Praise God for that. Really looking forward to today's show and getting to tell David's story. So, Justin, we're going to play the game, Two Truths and a Lie, about David. Okay. And you're going to get to guess. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Does David love dogs? Is the only good grade he got in school in the subject of history, or does he love helping people? Which one is the lie?
The lie is he loved dogs.
Oh,
that
okay.
would be a lie. I don't know, but I guess.
David, tell us which one's the lie.
I was hoping he would get it wrong.
Oh, you did.
You got it right. First try, Justin.
Ah, congratulations. This is you first, win the prize.
Yeah, this is my first
we
time.
We have no prize for you. Maybe your prize will get to be that someday you'll get to fly back to India. Justin's quarantined in the USA. His flight was canceled in April, and so he's still here, and it's almost June. Mm-hmm. But we're grateful for that. Mm-hmm. So, David, what do you... So, the lie is that you love... You really don't like dogs?
No, I can't stand dogs.
Really?
I know that sounds terrible.
Were you
but
ever
no, I just,
bitten by a dog? Is there some reason in your childhood for this?
Like every person I have lived with, whether it's a roommate or even my great aunt that I live with now, they always have dogs, and somehow I always end up being the caretaker.
Oh,
and yeah, it's like having someone else, it's like taking care of someone else's child, and it's just... And after like 5 or 6 times of doing it, I just don't like dogs anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to hate dogs before I came to America.
Yeah.
Because the street dog is everywhere. And in the nighttime, they started like, you know, it's crazy. And so I used to hate dogs. But after I got here, it's like I started liking it.
Well, you go from street dogs that you can't really trust because they can be in fights with each other, right? Mm-hmm. Right in 3 feet away from you. And you feel like you're vulnerable to being bit by a dog. Mm-hmm. But then you come here and you got the little furry creatures that are almost like another part of the family. Mm-hmm. And they're pets and they're right. lovely and yeah. Not too aggressive most of the time.
Mm-hmm. They're clean. And so it's kind of like, okay.
So is that the next project in your life? You're going to want a dog?
I'm not sure. No, my family in back home, they own the dog now.
So okay. They have. So that's enough for you?
Oh, yeah.
And so, but you're not going to go David's camp either where you say you don't like dogs.
I'm fine with whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're really like, to me, dogs are really like other people's kids. Like they're fun for about 2 hours and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. That's how they kind of work. You know, like I don't mind going to people's houses with dogs. I'll pet the dogs, but 2 hours. Okay. I'm done.
Just don't want to have to take care of them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I like it that way.
Well, let's dive into the show. Justin,
all
get us started.
Right. Yeah. Let's get to know Mr. David. Yeah. Let's share us who you are and your families.
Well, my name is David Thompson. I was born a long time ago, it feels like. My dad is Chris Thompson.
Be careful. You're only half my age and you're saying you were born a long time ago. What does that make me, man?
It feels like a long time ago. Okay.
All right. Okay. Maybe your bones hurt a little bit more than my bones or something. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
But you're a young man.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm a young man. I'm 28 years old.
Okay.
My dad is Chris Thompson, who is also a part of GHI.
Yes. One of our board members. We're very grateful for Chris and his witness for the Lord.
Yeah, I'm grateful for my father too. Trust me.
Yeah.
And my mom is Christy Pinnell. They are divorced and they both remarried. And I have two step parents named mm-hmm. BJ and Robert. Mm-hmm. And I have three brothers and sisters. One, there's Aaron, who is 2 years younger than me, Stella, who is now 20, and then I have a little brother named Alex, who is 12.
So tell us about your journey of faith. How did you come to know Christ?
Well, as a kid, I grew up going to church with my dad. He made sure that we always went to church, but it just never really, it felt like going through the motions. It wasn't so much about, you know, faith and really trusting and believing in God. It was just more of, oh, let's go to Sunday school, praise and worship, put your hands in the air. Like it was just, it felt more like the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in life, I turned away from God for things that happened to me. I turned to drugs, spent well over a decade addicted to drugs.
Mm.
And it was about a year and a half ago, something around there. Mm-hmm. I just had I had just gotten kicked out of my friend's house. We had been doing cocaine for probably about 9 months straight. And finally I left there and I went to live with my mom. And while I was at my mom's house, I just had this feeling like I needed to get some help.
Hmm.
So I told my dad that I needed to go to rehab, and he sent me and he told me about this place called Converting Hearts, which is a Christian faith-based rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
And I met this pastor named Doug Lovett, mm-hmm. who is an amazing teacher. And he really, like, he has no holds barred. Like when it comes to the Bible, he loves just slapping you with it, man. Like it's, mm-hmm. he says some powerful things. And as I learned more and more and more, I mean, it was incredible. Like I really felt God's presence in my life. I would say that's when I actually felt the Holy Spirit come into my life, was there Converting Hearts.
Praise God.
While I was at Converting Hearts, I had cleaned up my act some. I had already, you know, I'd been sober. And that's when my dad offered to, he said, do you want to go to India with me and Kevin and Justin? That I think you would enjoy going to another country and helping other people. And so he offered it and I gave it a try, and it was probably one of the best experiences of my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember a lot, but man, I remember that trip.
Yeah.
Like the back of my hand. Even those bumpy roads back and forth to that school. Man, I remember those.
Well, we're going to dive into this, but I just love the part of your story that takes you from far from God as an addict and in a place of pain and hurting, and how God used a mission trip to be a part of your healing, his healing diagnosis. It's like you went to the doctor and Jesus said, here's my grace. You are forgiven. And I'm going to clean you up. And part of that's going to be, you're going to go to India and you're going to become an evangelist for the word of God into the lives of these high school students. And I remember just being in awe of God to take someone that's now sober and now clean and spiritually born again, and now using you to be such a bright light for the students there in India. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you as far as just going from a place of despair to a place of being a light, seeing God use a mission trip to really heal your life?
I'll be honest. I still can't put it into words. Mm-hmm. Like it was indescribable. Like it, I used to be so incredibly selfish. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved helping people, but helping people for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. And to really just put yourself with God and to walk his path for your life and to do something unto him for others was just, I mean, it was the most amazing feeling. I'm still get shakes about it. Like it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible.
Well, your story breaks through the stereotypes because, you know, often we think we're going to give our lives to the Lord and he's got such a big job to clean us up and it's going to take years before I can be of any good to anyone. But God literally, like, you left the graduation and your treatment of this center that you were at, and within a few days you were on a plane for a mission trip to India. It's like immediately God took you to the nations. Immediately,
yes.
You know, like we hear God's promise to Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing. And sometimes that could take decades, you know, but we serve a God that can make that pretty immediately as well. And it was for you. He had blessed you and you had submitted to his blessing after all these years, and he immediately made you a blessing and took you to India.
Yes, exactly. It's one of those things where, and I talked to my aunt about this too, sometimes people have is they don't have enough faith in it. And sometimes that's what the blind faith is. Like, you just have to go out and just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have said, well, I'm not, you know, I just got out of rehab. I don't really know if it's a good idea if I go, you know, I'm just clean. Like, it's 6 months ago, I was doing drugs and now I'm going to India. Like, I just don't know. You know, I would say that you really, like, you just have to go out on faith, full 100% faith. Because if you don't, then you're not really trusting him.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what I did. I was just like, well, God, if this is what you want me to do, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
You saved me from drugs, so.
Well, I'm sure everyone in our audience today knows those stories of people who are released from prison and they go right back into where they came from. Released from rehab, they go right back to where they came from. I can't think of a better plan of God to prevent David from going right back by saying, you're not going to go right back. You're going to go to India. You're going to go on a mission trip. You're going to focus on the needs of others instead of absorbing yourself back in your needs and turning to the bad decisions of your past. And what have you seen? Like, do you feel like there's any chance that God used that mission trip to really be life-saving for David as far as you not having the opportunity to go right back?
Yes. Mm. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Doing God's work. And really, I always say this, that God put us on this planet and we still have to think about the world and the people around us. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I got back on coke, I couldn't go back to India. Mm-hmm. I know that if I got back on coke, I could not be a light in the world of darkness. Mm-hmm. I know that if I go back to drugs, I cannot do the things God wants me to do. Mm. And I know that God has a lot in store for me.
Yeah.
Right now, he's making sure I have some more patience, because that's one thing I'm learning right now. But I know that God's future plans for me are just going to be, they're just going to be great. And yeah. that's, and I'm just going to trust in him in it fully, 100%.
Yeah. Well, let's keep it real, because I'm sure in just wisdom, a lot of our audience are like, wow, so Global Hope India just lets anyone go on a mission trip. And they took this guy out of rehab, they put him on a plane, and now he's over in a high school in India. I mean, you know, they surely don't have much care for putting people at risk. And, you know, our listeners should understand that I was with David as the director of Global Hope India. We had another staff member, Justin, was there. One of our board members, David's dad, Chris, was there. And we went way up into the hills, far away from bars, far away from drug dealers, if there were any that we could have come up with. And I mean, it really, and you were always on a team. You were always under submission. You never left submission. And, you know, you were always safe, and those that were with David was always safe. And David, what was your account of that? Do you ever look back and just think, you know, that was incredibly stupid? You could have hurt someone, or you could have done something stupid there in India? Because I never felt any fear or any threat of that. If anything, I felt like it was, you were so under divine appointment from God that I just knew that he would protect you and he would protect others. And yet you had a platform. He gave you a platform to tell your story that so many high school students could relate to. What was your take on that?
Absolutely. I would say that while I was in India, the only thing that I thought of from my past when I was there was what God's word was saying to me, mm-hmm. and what I should be telling these high school students, you know, about my life, and to show them that, you know, for one, you don't have to do drugs, mm-hmm. like plain and simple, you just don't have to do it. But two, if you make that mistake, there's always, God will always save you. Like mm-hmm. if you truly believe it, God does not let his people fall. He yeah. never will. And so I wasn't afraid at all. Like I wasn't scared that I would do something like that. Like you said, I was in 100% submission to God. Like that's, you know, it was almost otherworldly. Uh-huh. Like by the time I got back on the plane back to the U.S., it was just like, it felt like a whirlwind. Right. I was just like, man, that was incredible. It was almost as though I wasn't actually there. It was like God had just been like, okay, I'm taking over you for right now.
Yeah,
I gotta put you here for a week, and that's, you know, and I'm taking over. So,
well, for me, the true test is now when you get back from India, you know. So we've all been to those youth camp experiences, those revivals where we go up to the mountaintop, we're alone with God, and we're just, you know, we are encapsulated in his presence. And so you had that in rehab, you now go on an international mission trip, but what sadness it would be if you came right back and went back into your old ways. But you haven't. You've really, like, even caring for your aunt is positioning your life to be more focused on others than on David. What have you experienced? You've been back a year now. Not to say, you know, I don't know if you've been 100% perfect, if life's been 100% perfect for you, but I know you have not been, you know, 9 months on cocaine. What have you faced as far as your challenges and your life today?
Well, you know, we all fall. Everyone still falls. Me personally, I have not turned back to drugs. There are other things, though, that God's teaching me, mm-hmm. but I know I didn't have those things before I went to rehab, after rehab, and when I went to India.
Sure.
God's always teaching all of us mm-hmm. something at some point in time.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, I mean, you know, like I was saying at the beginning, I mean, I live in downtown Durham. There's, mm-hmm. you know, I can look down the road and at the corner store, there's drug dealers out on the street mm-hmm. selling drugs. Mm-hmm. Like there, you know, I can smell the drugs from my house when I sit outside. Mm-hmm. And God is just, I mean, when I even think about doing drugs again, mm-hmm. I almost get kind of paranoid. Like I get this weird feeling mm-hmm. as though it's not the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And when I really want to do it, that feeling hits. And when I stop thinking about it, it goes away. Mm-hmm. It's literally night and day. And I know that's the Holy Spirit just tugging my heart going, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it. You go back to that and it's going to be 10 times worse than when you went into rehab the first time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm going to come back to this, but Justin, let's dive into David's trip.
Yeah, let's dive into our mission trip story. Yeah. So where did you go to a mission trip and what did you do on your team member like doing the mission trip?
I went to Manipur, India. Lot of flights. Went to Manipur, India. A lot of driving up a bumpy road, up a mountain. Mm-hmm. Best ride ever. My back is still a little bit stiff. Yeah.
David's being sarcastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sarcasm is something I'm also trying to work on.
Aren't we all?
Kevin's the same way.
I have no issue with sarcasm.
He always did. So, you know that.
Yeah. So just for those listeners that have never been to Manipur, can't wait to take you there, but mm-hmm. you literally have to fly into an international hub like Delhi or Mumbai, and then you travel another whole day. After you reach India, you then go through Calcutta or someplace to then make it over to Imphal mm-hmm. in Manipur, the state capital of Manipur. And then David's team went 2.5 hours into a very remote village in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains. Mm-hmm. And you do go where there's no more pavement and you keep going.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we would call them craters. They call them roads.
Yes.
And you drive through them and you shake, rattle and roll. And you're so blessed whenever you pull up at the house and you can get out of the car.
I was thinking like after I heard on the way to Manipur, I heard your story, David's story. And then I felt like, wow, he just came out from the rehab, and then how he's going to survive for 1 week in that small village and how he's going to handle. And I was just concerned. I was worried for you, but wow, you did so awesome. You did great, man. We are proud
of
you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
So yeah. Tell us the purpose of your team. What did you actually do during your week there?
During that week, we were there to teach kids English. That was, you know, one of two goals while we were there was to teach the kids English and then bring the word of God to them. And I can remember I was teamed up with Beverly mm-hmm. and we had great classes. Man, those kids were awesome.
Yeah.
And like I said in the little form I filled out, I'm probably not the best English teacher on the planet, but at the same time, I know I helped them with their English. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I know that I prayed with some of them, and I know that, and I hope that God used me to impact people's lives, even if it wasn't right then. You never know what happens in the future. God always has a way of bringing things right back around.
You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise.
And now imagine yourself on the forward mission field. You and your team are on the bus going to today's programs. After singing a few songs, Pastor Kevin stands to deliver a devotion.
Okay. Oh, I feel that. Come on now, I'm ready.
Okay, team, gather around. Before we go out into today's program, I have a word I want to share with you. Today's word is unity. I want you to hear that word, unity. Let the Holy Spirit just speak that word into your spirit. Unity. Unity is so important. We all know the Lord's Prayer, and hopefully you have it memorized, and that is beautiful. But equally important is Jesus's prayer in John 17. There he prays that the believers would be protected, that they would be sanctified. Now, that's a big word that basically means set apart for the glory of God, and He prays that they might be one, that they would be united. He is praying for you and I, that we would protect each other, that we will exhort and encourage each other to live set apart for the glory of God, because he knows that those are what is required in order for you and I to be united together. Can you imagine wanting to avoid a family or a group in your school that is always in conflict? We know various families that we have been exposed to that are always in conflict. Nobody wants to go to that home. No one wants to be a part of that club. If all they have in that club in the school or that department in the company where all they are is having conflict and drama with each other. It's the same in the world. God knows that it is unity that makes the gospel contagious and gives the church an attractive witness. And so it is important that you and I go out into today's mission ready, willing, able, already deciding up front that we will protect you, that we will protect one another. We will share the same focus as being set apart for the glory of God, and that we will value unity. We will not allow the enemy to distract us through interpersonal conflicts or conflicts of any type. We know unity is not an option. And so value this word, treasure this word, treasure the gift of unity. Ask God for unity. As you pray along with what Jesus has prayed, you can be confident it is God's will to answer that prayer of protection, of sanctification, of unity. Keep in mind the word unity. Pray that into existence throughout today's program. Be committed to unity. Are you ready? Let's get set. Ready, go.
Want tools to help increase the effectiveness of your church's efforts to reach the internationals in your community? Global Hope India has 20 years experience and can empower you to live the dream like we see in Revelation chapter 7 of every nation, tribe, and tongue worshiping Christ. Check out our resources like this podcast and other resources at globalhopeindia.org. Reach out today.
We want to provide some local love to Colliers International, located in North Carolina. They are a leading global real estate services and investment management company, and their CEO, Jim Anthony, has supported causes such as The Healing Place, Jobs for Life, The Salvation Army, Raleigh Rescue Mission, Shepherd's Table, Step Up Ministry, and many pro-life organizations like Gateway and Birth Choice. He also supports pastors, ministries, schools, and youth workers around the world. Thank you, Jim, for your gift of generosity and how you exhibit Christ in your community. Check out their website at www.colliers.com.
During the mission trip, the first time you pray over someone, like not only one person, but like hundreds of students, they came over and asked for your prayer. And so you prayed over them. So mm-hmm. What does it feel like? Like it was your first time. And then what was like your thinking during your praying over them?
I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified because I wanted to be able to say the right things. At first, that was my issue, was trying to say the right things. Mm-hmm. And the first day and the first night, that's the way it was. When we got back home, mm-hmm. And when I was laying in bed that night, I prayed to God that I said, God, you know I can't do this. You know I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me out with these prayers because I know these kids need to hear these things mm-hmm. and they need to hear what you need me to say to them. Mm-hmm. So God, just give me the words to say to them. And after that first night, I mean, it just, like I said, it was a whirlwind. It's like, by the time I was done praying, I was like, did I actually just say all that? Mm-hmm. Like, did that really just come out of my mouth? Was that, was that real? And by the time you know it, I had already prayed with 50 kids, and it was just like, oh my goodness, like I literally just said all that. Like it wasn't even me. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through me that really was, it was incredible. It was an absolutely incredible experience.
Yeah. I love how God turns our terror into his faithfulness and proves himself faithful like that. So David's team did spoken English during the day, and then at night invited all of the students of the school to come in to basically what would look like to be a youth revival, where the team had some parts of the service and local worship teams came in and led in worship. And then one of the team members shared their testimony. And one of those was David. So David, what was it like to tell your story to probably 500 high school students in that meeting?
Over
500. This was a volunteer. There could have only been 5 students that showed up. Nobody was requiring them to come. But that night that David shared his testimony, there's probably 500 students there. What was that like?
I am absolutely terrified of standing up in front of people. I know, I remember shaking on the stage. But once again, it was one of those things where I just stopped and I asked God for a little bit of just a little prayer. Just God, lead my way. Just lead my way. You know what I need to say. And next thing you know, I was saying the things I needed to say. I was telling them about my life and about the things I went through and how God saved me from my wretched sins. And let me, you know, led me to a place to where I could come and teach them and be with them and hopefully help them in their issues. And I think, what, how long was it? Was it like 5 minutes that we had that to give your testimony?
I think you spoke for 20 minutes, man.
Yeah, I probably
did. It was
so
clear and orderly and precise. But yeah, I think it went a good 20 minutes. And the students, you could have heard a pin drop. They were sitting on the edge of their seat listening to every word.
It was, like I said, it's just still, I mean, I'm just in awe of the fact that I'm just still in awe. Like, that's all I can really say about it. Like, it was just, it was the most amazing experience of my entire life to be able to stand up and tell those kids my experience in life. And, you know, and especially with them being high school students. When I started doing drugs, I was 13 years old. So some of those kids were definitely older than I was. And I, you know, or when I started drugs, and I mean, I don't know their lives like that, but I know when I started and I know how easy it was for me to get a hold of it. There's no telling, you know, in their country how easy it is to get, you know, to get a hold of those things. You just never know. When there's a demand, there's a way to get it. So it's, you know, it was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I want to share this verse that I really think of whenever I think of you, David, and that is just, without vision, people perish. And I hear that even in your story of how you really wrestled for a decade of being addicted to drugs. And I really sense an absence of vision there. And it's just the sovereignty of God that he would send you into this high school in the middle of this culture that is really struggling with vision. And unfortunately, a lot of the young people of Northeast India are turning to drugs and alcoholism because they cannot get jobs. They really struggle to find a way out of their poverty. And sometimes they turn to alternative things than God to numb themselves. And so your story, they could relate to. And it really showed them a place of hope that if God could turn David's life around when he's been on such a bottom of life, then he could turn my life around as well. What did you hear from the students about how they could relate to your story?
There were a few students that pulled me aside when, you know, when we were just at the end of the night, when we were all kind of just mingling and talking with them. There was a few students that pulled me inside and said, you really spoke to me. You know, your story really meant something to me. It really had an impact, you know, in basic terms. But yes, that was, you know, they definitely pulled me aside, and I can tell. I mean, like I said, I was addicted to drugs for over a decade. I know when, well, I know when someone's on drugs, and I know when they're coming off of drugs, mm-hmm. and I know what that looks like. And you can just kind of tell that some of them have been struggling with that. Mm-hmm. They have been struggling with the things that, you know, with those things. And I could just tell that my story really, you know, really had an impact in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And a little side comment about that Bible verse. That is probably the truest thing I think I've ever heard since I've been back from India. Four of my old friends that I used to do drugs with are now dead from overdoses.
Wow.
And, you know, that's when you said that verse, like it sent chills up my spine. Like it is absolutely true, because they had no vision. Mm-hmm. Their only vision was when am I going to get high next?
Right.
That was their vision. And they perished mm-hmm. because of it. And it's just, it's an absolute, oh man, that's freaky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the story doesn't end there, because I watched our loving Heavenly Father instill vision, impart vision into your life. You know, we go to India thinking that we're going to hopefully, by the grace of God, be a blessing to people. But I found that in my own life, God used India to change my life. And I think that's even true in your life, David, because I watched over that mission trip experience. You did not come back with just saying, okay, I've been to India for 10 days and now it's over. You came back full of vision. And not only were you focused on what God had just done, but you were already seeing vision of what He was going to do in the future. And I remember you even had a conversation with the principal there about coming back someday as a teacher. And you came back and really like you're going through some educational pursuit right now, I believe, that probably started out that you began that course as a result of having gone to India. And so now you're pursuing a degree in the medical field, and it will not surprise me at all that there's going to be a day soon that you're going to be back on the soil of India because of a vision you saw when you were there your first trip. Talk to us about that. Don't let me put words in your mouth. It's fair for you to say, I probably never will go back to India. But what do you believe God showed you then that you're still standing on today?
Absolutely, 100%. When I got back from India, I knew that there had to be, I knew that when you go over to other countries, you have that, how am I going to say this? I want to be able to spread the word of God. But mm-hmm. at the same time, when you go to other countries, sometimes people really need actual physical help. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I took a class in phlebotomy, which is where you go to get your arm stuck and the blood is drawn, just so everyone knows on the podcast, yeah, I'm one of those people. I'm a vampire nurse. I draw your blood. And, uh-huh. you know, and it was just like I was leaving Walmart one day. I saw a sign that said that they need more phlebotomists for the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. And I decided to take a phlebotomy class. Wow. I ended the class with one of the best grades of my entire life. Got a 95 in the class.
Wow.
I got a 98 on the final exam. I passed the certification exam. Yeah, that's great. Best grade, even better than history.
David, you're giving me chills now, or the Holy Spirit is as I'm hearing this, because I just resonate with your story. Like I had no purpose, and my grades were at best C level all the way through school. And then when God got a hold of me, the grades completely turned around. But the difference was vision. And now I'm hearing you say 98, 99.
Yes. No, I was a CDF student.
Uh-huh.
And, I got A's in history. And, well, I mean, everyone, you know, if you don't pass PE, physical education, you know, if you don't pass PE, I don't really know what to say. But other than that, no, all my grades. Even biology, you know what the worst subject in my entire school history was science.
Uh-huh.
I bombed biology. Yeah. And when I went to college right out of high school, I got a 33 in biology. Didn't wow. know cells, didn't know any of that. It. Yes. And now I'm a certified phlebotomist.
Yeah, my laughing is at the glory of God, of just how he can turn things around. Exactly. I mean, he has so transformed your life, and I'm just overcome with joy as I hear your story. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I think everyone should turn this on pause and just step out of their car or out of their house and just shout to the Lord.
Yeah.
David, that's awesome. Congratulations, exactly. man. Congratulations. I'm so thank proud you. Of you. As your thank brother you, in Christ, you. I am so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so well, all of God and all of God. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
You got to really, I wouldn't have done it without him. Yeah. I'm just being honest. If this were David, uh-huh. if this were old David Thompson, I would still be doing cocaine right now.
Oh. Well, the high school students are going to love you telling them that you're now a vampire for Jesus.
Yes.
And you will
draw their blood. They're going to absolutely love it.
Yeah.
They're going to absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And my vision, ultimately, uh-huh. the only reason why I took a class in phlebotomy mm-hmm. is because I know that I can be very useful for the International Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have doctors and nurses that want to travel. Mm-hmm. But as far as doing basic, you know, blood draws for war-torn countries mm-hmm. or for diseases that are blood-borne illnesses, that they don't have a lot of people that are willing to travel mm-hmm. for that small amount of money. And that's exactly when I walked into that class the first day. And my teacher asked me, what is it that you actually want to do with this? Uh-huh. That's the first thing I told him. Wow. Said, I want to go international. Wow. Said, I want to travel the world and help people. And the best part is my teacher is also a very, very strong faith Christian.
So we had
great conversations. And he was saying, when I went overseas, he goes, you don't want to sit there and berate them, mm-hmm. you know, and just feed them. Well, you know, God's word, he said, but when they ask you why you decided to do this, he said, I just give it. He says, oh, I just do it because God told me to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, you wouldn't believe. He said that I was in Saudi Arabia for 2 years and you would not believe the people that would just come up to me and say, thank you.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's no telling how many lives I transformed just by being there and just telling them it was the blood of Jesus Christ that led me here. Yeah. And it's God that wants me to be here. And
saved by the blood.
Exactly. Yeah. Saved by the blood.
So listen to this. Shh. I want to tell you a little secret from God. David, you're going to have a captive audience. God is so wise, because as you're drawing people's blood, they can't move.
Nope.
And you're going to get to be there and just give God glory and tell them how God has used his word to transform your life. You'll be able to pray over people.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to calm their fears with the hope of Jesus. I just love that God's given you this kind of platform in your life.
Yes, exactly. he could not. It's seriously, like I said before, if David was doing this, I couldn't have done this on my own.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, he has set me up in such a way to where, like you said, they can't move. Uh-huh. They don't want the needle jerking out of their arm.
I know.
When I had to go for a week at UNC and do clinical duty. And I probably talked to, out of 150 patients, I probably talked to 30 of them about God.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all talking to me about it. But I was able to encourage them in the things that they were doing.
Right.
And I told my story to several of them. Mm. And I even had one lady cry across the table from me.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, you know, it could not have been a better idea. Like I said, I couldn't have done it. I really couldn't have done it myself. Absolutely not.
Well, Justin, how are we going to even ask David if missions has changed his life?
You already explained.
I know. Spoiler alert. God used missions to change David's life. You've already done that. But David, anything else you want to share there as far as how God has used missions to change your life?
I feel like if I said anything else, it would just be repeating. I mean, all I would say to other people is, just go out on faith and do what God's telling you to do. Like, yeah. Just do it. If he's calling you to go to India, go to India. If he's calling you to, you know, give money to India, do it. Mm-hmm. If he's calling you to do anything, all you have to do is just do it.
Yeah.
And my mom had this, my mom has this thing where it's, she read this guy's book. He has an absolutely incredible story. He's definitely a Christian. And he said, you know, when I started saying, he said, before I started saying yes to God, I just lived this existence of going to work, coming home, watching TV. He goes, but when I decided to say yes to God, he goes, I haven't slowed down yet. Mm. And I mean, he went, he got, his job was a lawyer in here in the United States. And he actually went to other countries in Africa and got a license to be a lawyer in those countries and got people out of prison who had been in prison for 10 years for something as simple as throwing trash on the ground where they just, they weren't being processed through. There was no one there to help them. I mean, he's, you know, he just said the most amazing thing I ever did was just say yes to God. Mm. And he hasn't slowed down yet. And that's what I would encourage everyone else who's listening and who shows their friends this. That's what I would say is just say yes to God. Sit. It's as simple as that. Right. It's scary. My goodness gracious, it's scary. Mm-hmm. But with God leading the way, you'll always be fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to our mission trip story. Like, let's talk about your dad. So during your mission trip, your dad was like, I know that how much he loved you. And like you were in a rehab and you were like in a drug addictions and stuff, but your dad didn't choose to hate you, but he chose to love you. And during your mission trip, like I saw that you were praying over them and then your dad was watching and I felt like how much your dad was proud of you. And as soon as the service over, he came and gave the best hug ever that I saw that. Mm-hmm. I captured my photo and I was taking a video and photos. I was just like inspired, much inspired. And so like, what do you want to share about your dad?
My dad is, my dad understands.
Mm-hmm.
My dad understands where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. He can tell you his own story, but he knows tooth and nail. I'll say that he knows tooth and nail exactly what I went through and the pain that it caused him. And then to be transformed to be transformed by God in pretty much almost the same way as I was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he went on missions trips afterwards or not, but the transformation for him was exactly what happened to me. And I know that he was proud of me. I know that he was proud of me, but I think more than being proud of me, I think he just thanked God for it.
Right.
That one of his sons was finally coming around to what God wanted, and to just see that, you know, we had great talks afterwards. We still have great talks. I mean, I know he says he's proud of me, but like I said, I think he's just proud of the fact that I said yes to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for sharing that. And yes.
Good question.
So how you will describe your trip experience in one word?
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Indescribable.
You got to pick one.
Well, you know what? Incredible is not a good enough word. Indescribable. One word, indescribable.
Yeah. Both are great words. Mm-hmm. And I agree with both. I witnessed them with my own eyes. And I continue to witness the story unfold. And yeah, God is just incredible and he is indescribable.
Mm-hmm.
And this story is as well. Praise the Lord. I would love for you to just close out our show with offering a prayer for our audience today. I just know you're already being led even now on how to pray. Will you just lead us in prayer and pray as the Spirit leads you over the people listening?
Yes, gladly. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. Father God, just protect us in this time of disease and turmoil, Father God. And Father God, you know who you call. You know who you need to do your work. And I just Father God, I just ask that you continue to encourage those people. I ask that the words you spoke through me today will help lead them as well. And Father God, we just give you thanks for everything that we have, absolutely everything that we have, because without you, we wouldn't have any of it, Father God. And I just praise you and thank you. I love you. And I know you love me too. And I know you love all of your children, Father God. And I just ask that you please, Father God, that you just lead people to do what it is that you want them to do. I know what you did in my life, and I know how strong it was, Father God, and I just ask that you bestow that upon everybody else. In this I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. David, I'm sure you've been used of God to encourage so many people, and I just love how inspirational your story is, and I know you give God all the glory for that, but thank you for taking the time to share it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You're very welcome.
Yeah, and yeah. I can't wait to watching you be the vampire for Jesus in India someday.
Oh man, I can't wait to be able to tell people that.
Yeah.
Maybe not everyone though, because in some countries vampires are, you know, crucified. So maybe I'll kind of stick away from the word vampire. Uh-huh. But yes, otherwise, yeah, that's, you know, it's going to be an interesting experience. I am absolutely 100% excited for what God has in store for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking care of your great, great aunt and for all that you do for the people around you. Mm-hmm. And God bless you.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you again really soon.
Yeah. We're proud of you. Thank you so much.
Proud of
God
you.
Bless you guys too. God bless you. Love you guys.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/missions and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We will randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. This episode is complete, so head over to globalhopeindia.org for show notes, resources, and opportunities to go to India through GHI. Continue to be radically transformed by God as you live out the Great Commission, and we'll see you again next week here at Missions Change My Life.